just can stand there and do it.
Okay. Yeah, I've got a portable also. I got plug tools. I keep everything. Okay, there's hold.
I'll see how it is at the end of the service.
Hold. All right, you can take that in your pocket. You're good to go there. A little extra cord.
It's hot here. Anybody else hot?
No, I'm fine. Oh, I'm freezing.
Oh, man, I'm like sweating up here.
It's you. Yeah.
Must be me. Yeah, it's raging testosterone.
No.
I've been busy all morning. Yeah.
I got wet. The rain makes you cold.
Yeah.
Okay,
turn the air on.
Okay, good morning again.
Good morning.
So I'm like always, I always say here in front, I'm so glad and thankful that I have the chance to be here today and try to teach something or show something that God allowed me to do. Thanks to Jim and Steve to let me do it. So I'm going to pass these handouts.
Can I help you?
Thank you.
Sure.
Come on. Thank you.
Thank you.
So the last time that I was here in front, I was talking about faith. I hope that that one helped you in some way in your life or that week or that month or any time that you were asking God to guide you what to do or what to wait or be patient and be faithful. So today I'm going to do something called Fear Not or Do Not Fear. And this, I found this a couple of years ago in that, and when Steve told me to, when he asked me to teach this morning, I went back in my mind and tried to reach and search about this, because I saw a couple of years I saw something that it was like, okay, I'm going to read this. Fear do not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. So like I said, I found this phrase. I saw a video a couple of years, and I saw it last year, and saw it again a couple of months ago. And so my mind go back and try to search and do research about this. So the phrase, fear not or do not fear, variation like do not be afraid or not or be not afraid, appears approximately like 80 times in the King James version of the Bible. It's often claimed to be 365 times, for one for each day of the year, but that's not accurate. While the phrase is repeated frequently, it's a specific count and very depending on how it's interpreted and counted. But what if we include variation of phrase like do not be afraid or even be courageous, which is possibly a way to telling us do not be afraid. It still gets us nowhere near than 365 times. In fact, it won't even get us to 200. In the King James Version of the Bible, do not fear is frequently and comforting phrase used to address anxieties and uncertainties. It's used to encourage faith and trust in God, reminding people of His presence and strength. Like the biblical context, like I was reading the first verse, Isaiah 41:10. Do not fear appears in multiple times in the King James Version. Often it's in situations where individuals are facing challenges or threats. For example, and I read this, God tells His people, fear do not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, I will help thee, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. So I'm going to show go back. So number one, you have your handout there. When we feel alone and overcome with fear, we can focus on the truth that, and there is a blank, is with us. He promised to never leave or forsake. I want to start. If you want to, Pam, can you read Hebrews 13:5, and then going to go to Theresa, Pam, that way. So I'm going to ask everybody to read one of our verses that I have here. So Hebrews 13:5.
Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave you, leave thee, nor forsake thee.
So I'm going to go, I'm going to show a couple of videos that I found about talking about the first thing about how is not accurate 365 times on the Bible, but it has a really good point. And then I'm going to show you another one.
I'm sure you've heard the phrase, do not be afraid, is in the Bible 365 times, one for every day of the year. I mean, that sounds good, right? Look, it's got tons of memes out there online, so you know it's true, but is it really? The whole 365 times claim, it's a myth. It's a feel-good phrase. Somebody just made up and got spread around. And while the sentiment is sweet, the truth is a lot deeper and more powerful. So first off, it's simply not true that do not be afraid is written 365 times in the Bible. It's not even close with all the free Bible resources out there like Bible Hub, Bible Gateway, eSword, even ChatGPT. You can easily do a search and find that be not afraid appears about 70 times. That's 295 shy of the 365 we've been told. But maybe it's just a wording issue, right? Maybe if we search for afraid alone, it might line up. Nope. If we search afraid, it shows up about 200 to 210 times, depending on the translation. And remember, that includes every mention. That means fear of enemies, fear in people's hearts, everything. It's not all God saying, do not be afraid. So that's definitely not it. So what if we go even broader? Let's pull in all the mentions of fear, from fear not to fear the Lord to fear of enemies. Still doesn't work. Fear appears about 330 times, but it includes positive and negative uses. Fear not is part of it, yes, but so are descriptions of fear as an emotion, commands to fear God, and a whole lot more. So what if we try to gather every verse about not being afraid, about casting anxieties or relying on God's strength? You get about 145 verses that fit the fear not or do not worry about. And that's still far short of 365. So it begs the question, knowing that this do not be afraid 365 times thing is bogus, why do we keep spreading it? And why do we need to keep saying, telling us to not be afraid? Well, it says something more about us. Because here's a hard truth. We want easy comforts. Something to hang on the fridge or post on the wall or put up on social media that makes us feel secure. But God's strength doesn't get soundbite. We don't need 365 reminders to live without fear. We just need to know who we are in God. For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. And there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. 1 John 4:18. And these verses go deeper than any phrase tally ever could. They show us who we're called to be. People defined not by fear, but by God's love and power within us. It's not about counting verses. It's about living in the reality of who God says we are. Children of God who bear God's DNA. In the ancient world, neither the Hebrews nor the Greeks even used a 365-day calendar. So the idea of 365 times, one for every day, wouldn't even make sense to them. Plus, the Protestant Bible, as we know it, didn't get its final form until the 1600s to the 1800s. So we're borrowing a calendar and canon that didn't exist when these words were written, thinking it's all tailor-made for our current lives. I mean, that's a little self-centered, and it's definitely Eurocentric when you think about it, right? Now, don't get me wrong. We're not called to live in fear. That is absolutely true. But we don't need to rely on a mythical number to remember that. So instead of reaching for a feel-good line, what if we reach deeper into who God says we already are? Instead of catchy phrases, let's embrace the wonder and mystery of Christ and what he reveals about us. Like the fact that we are seated with Christ right now in heavenly places, living as he is in this world, because as he is, so are we in this world. Maybe we need fewer cute sayings and more commitment to becoming and revealing who your Creator already says we are. Because God has called us to live with power, to let God's perfect love drive out fear, to walk through the valleys knowing we're not alone. So here's my challenge. Let's stop relying on made-up encouragement and instead stand firmly in our identity as God's children. Let's step into that truth and live it every day, with or without catchy slogans. God bless. Be loved. See you soon.
So, is it loud enough back there? Okay. So, back in your handout, on the first blank that you have there, sorry about that. The first blank on the top, we can focus on the truth that God is with us. So the blank is there is God. So I'm going to show you another. This is a short one, talking about fear also. So here we go with the second one.
Fear exists in two basic forms, healthy fear and unhealthy fear. Healthy fear is rooted in a respect for the power and goodness of God. Psalm 111 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Proverbs 19 says, "The fear of the Lord leads to life." Fearing God is a good fear. We fear what we don't fully understand and what we cannot control, both of which qualify God as worthy of fear. Unhealthy fear is rooted in doubt of the power and goodness of God. Scripture tells us to avoid this kind of fear and reminds us that God delivers us from it. David in Psalm 27 says, "The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear?" God says in Isaiah 41, "For I am the Lord your God who holds your right hand, who says to you, 'Do not fear, I will help you.'" Pursue healthy fear and flee unhealthy fear.
So, on the next one here, still number one, the fear of the Lord is beginning of wisdom. Relates more to respect and reverence for God than actual fear in its modern definition. Fearing God is knowing God, and this is where there is the blank wisdom lies. Proverbs also teaches. The people must submit to God's will. By doing so, we acquire wisdom. So I'm going to let you know what's the blank there. So, Theresa, would you read Psalms 111:10, please?
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever.
So the next one, Pam, would you do Proverbs 19:23?
The fear of the Lord tendeth to life. And he that has it shall abide satisfied, and he shall not be visited with evil.
So here, on the blank there, you found the word through. Yeah, amen. Would you read Psalms 27:1?
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall be afraid?
So here, which declares that the Lord is the believer's light, the salvation, and the strength, express a strong confidence in God's, and there is another blank, and lack of fear in the face of adversity. The statement that fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom signifies that the reverence for and obedience that to God lead to understanding as deeper relationship with Him. So the next, the blank there after confidence in God's would be protection. So now in number two in the handout, God will hold your right hand, offer you strength and reassurance. He promised to help you and encourage you to overcome fear. Mary, would you read Isaiah 41:13?
For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee.
So this signifies God's presence and His commitment to be with you, to be with us. Offering His, and there's another blank, and support. The right hand is often symbol, so I'm going to go back. And the offering His, the next word there would be strength. The right hand is often symbol of, there's another blank, an authority in the Bible. And also to hold right hand symbolize this, and there's another blank, and protection. So the first one, the right hand is often symbol of power. That's the next one. And then the next one is, and also to hold right hand and symbolize the guidance. Guidance and protection. So number on the hand, I'm going to let you. So there were strange power and guidance. On number three, fear not. In Matthew 10, Jesus sent his disciples out to preach the gospel of the kingdom. He told them three times, fear not. We can find this in Matthew 10, 26, Matthew 10, 28, and Matthew 10, 31. So, would you read? Judy, would you read Matthew 10, 26?
Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall be not be revealed and hid that shall not be known.
Chuck, will you read Matthew 10, 28, please?
Okay. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but we... No. What's that word?
Red.
Was to him which is able to...
destroy
both soul and body in hell.
Carol, would you read Matthew 10:31, please?
Fear ye not, you are not more valued than many sparrows.
So here, like I was saying, Jesus told his disciples to not be afraid or do not fear. So we found this in these three verses in Matthew. So next one, I'm going to number four. We live in a very fearful world. Our minds are often filled with worries and fears. We fear national instability and the potential for war. We fear the very real possibility of economic collapse. We fear that kind of war our children are inheriting. We are concerned for the future. Such fears are nothing new in the history of mankind. Fear has been a part of human existence since the fall of man in Genesis 3. At the time of the birth of Christ, fear abounded among the Jews. And into these fearful times, both Matthew and Luke, in their birth narratives, record angels bringing the same comforting words, fear not. So we're going to find this in Matthew 1:10, Luke 1:13, and Matthew 1:30 and Matthew 2:10, and we have it there on the handout. And Aura, would you read first Matthew 1:20, please?
But why didst thou on this thing? Behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, who is son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost.
So here, so fear not, God is with, and the blank would be you. The next one, would you read Luke?
But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John.
So the blank there, fear not, God has heard your, what do you think is there?
Voice.
Your, what do we
prayer.
Do?
Prayer.
Our prayer. The next one, Jim or Luke 1.
And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God.
So the next plan is there, fear not, God gives you What is there? Grace?
Grace.
So I'm going to put it...
I'm going to put it down here. Grace. And the last one there, Jim, on Luke 2:10.
And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people."
Fear not, God sends a, the word is saber. He sent us a saber. So that's the last blank on the handout on the first page. So all four of these times when the angels tell them, fear not, the reason given to not be afraid is the coming of the Messiah, the King, the Lord, who will save His people. So now, on the second page, we're going to read these verses so I can... You can find it in your Bible. I can point. I think I have it here. Yeah. So again, Pam, start again with one verse each.
John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid.
Psalms 34:4. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears.
Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, He is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee.
Joshua 1:9. Had not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid. Neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wheresoever thou goest.
Philippians 4:6-7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus.
Isaiah 43:1. But now thus said the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine.
Chuck, would you read Psalms 46 and the first verse, number 1, and then Carol, number 2 and 3?
Verses
1. To the chief of musicians.
To the chief
musician
for the song sons of
Korah,
a song upon
Alamo.
God is a refuge and a fight. A very precious help in trouble.
Therefore, not we fear, through the earth to be removed, and through the mountains be carried into the middle of the sea. Through the waters, therefore, where war and troubled, through the mountains shaped with the swollen, therefore,
Salem.
So think. Oh.
Think about that. Yeah,
thank you. So all these verses we can find the fear not or not do not fear and how God guide us to all different things that we gotta go through life every day, probably every morning, every hour, every minute in our mind. So we can attach our faith, our prayer, our reading our Bible, and coming to church, be with. Gospel with the Lord, the words of God with everybody, and how the fear is going to be there. We got to be with God all the time, asking here. And I'm going to go back. So let's stay on the second page. Here are some other examples. I'm going to read a couple of these. On John 14:1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. So this verse encourages that trust in Jesus and his presence, dispelling any doubts of fears. The next one, John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So Jesus reassures his disciples with his peace, urging them not to be disturbed by fear. The next one, John 16:33, these signs I have spoken unto you, that in my ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So despite the hardship of life, Jesus encouraged believers to be encouraged by his victory and remain steadfast. On Matthew 10:29-31, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall off the ground without your father, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are more valued than many sparrows. So Jesus uses a natural example to demonstrate God's care and encourage believers to trust in his provisions. The next one, Luke 12:32. Fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. This verse assures believers that they are part of God's special kingdom and encourages them to trust in his care and provision. On 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of sound mind. This verse emphasizes that God has not given believers a spirit of fear, but rather a spirit of power, love, and self-control. This verse is, among other, highlighting the theme of fear not throughout the New Testament, urging believers to trust in God's power, presence, and love to overcome their fears. So the last one on the screen, fear not, do not fear, application in our personal life. Comfort and encourage. The phrase do not fear provides comfort and encourage to those struggling with anxiety, doubt, or fear. It emphasizes that God is present with his people, offering strength and guidance. Focus on God's power. The message of do not fear is not about suppressing fear, but about acknowledging and turning to God for strength and assurance. It's highlighting to God's power and ability to overcome any chance. So I'm going to do again the video, the second one, and then we're going to have a time if you want to share something about fear. So this is already the one that I played.
Fear exists in two basic forms, healthy fear and unhealthy fear. Healthy fear is rooted in a respect for the power and goodness of God. Psalm 111 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 19 says, the fear of the Lord leads to life. Fearing God is a good fear. We fear what we don't fully understand and what we cannot control, both of which qualify God as worthy of fear. Unhealthy fear is rooted in doubt of the power and goodness of God. Scripture tells us to avoid this kind of fear and reminds us that God delivers us from it. David in Psalm 27 says, the Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? God says in Isaiah 41, for I am the Lord your God who holds your right hand, who says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Pursue healthy fear and flee unhealthy fear.
So I hope everything on this today that I brought on and God allowed me to tell you this morning makes sense to you and your personal life. So I don't know if anyone wants to share something about fear or something that got to be with this or something else this morning.
I have a question. I have friends that say since that little boy died in Belton,
Why is God not real? How do you answer that?
It is always that question. I think it's around all the time. Like, how God allowed us to do that, let happen that. So I will say that God is, he knows the purpose of everything.
Yeah.
So it's hard to tell somebody that that's the plan of God. It's really hard to,
like last night,
especially if somebody that is not a believer.
Yeah, they're not believers because last night after I dropped my boyfriend off at his place, I was talking to my friend's aunt and she's like, you get to go to church with those non-believers, don't you? I'm like, whoa, okay. So I just said I can't be in your life anymore. So
yeah, it is hard. I don't know. I was reading.
We're called to give an answer to any man.
Yeah, I just didn't know the answer.
And the answer to that is that you know, God knows what.
Yeah.
He knows what that child is going to face ahead of time.
Yeah.
He knew that what was going on with that child. This is a consequence of an action.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with God, that God will be in the details and God will be in the healing.
Yeah.
And this is something that, you know, we are called when people say, well, there can't be a God because he did this or he did that. Mm-hmm. You know, we are called to answer that in a godly way.
Yeah.
And with scripture and turn them to the Word of God. And
yeah.
That's basically what we can do. I mean, okay. Really, can we take away their grief? Can we take away their sorrow? No, you can't. And you need to be sensitive to that.
Yeah.
And say, yeah, I'm sorry for your loss, but, you know, God is with you in this. And that, you know, he's there to comfort you in this. But most likely, the things that happened with that child were a consequence of an action.
Yeah.
Not anything to do with God. You know?
I know.
Satan's here to steal our children. That's what he's here for.
Yeah.
You know, it's getting worse and worse every day, and we have to be very conscious of that and to know that, you know, we need to protect them and we need to guide them.
Yeah.
And if they're not being guided in a godly way, they're being guided in a worldly way.
Yeah.
Which is going to cause issues and problems and danger and other things.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And what comes to my mind also is that it probably had nothing to do with the little boy either.
No.
Yeah.
No.
He's
innocent.
God has a plan. It's... Yeah.
I watch a TV program called Touched by an Angel.
Mm-hmm.
And in the last one I saw, someone blew up a school and 43 kids were killed. And the point of it was God himself came to that school and took those children home. So God is there. Bad things happen, but God is always there. And I believe anytime a child is taken, he personally deals with that soul.
Mm-hmm.
Where the angel, I don't know if we're supposed to believe in the angel of death, but, you know, we go where we're supposed to. But, I don't know, I just feel God always is with a child.
Anyone else that want to share? Or
I would say that I think fear is energy. That you can either have good fear, like the fear in God, which gives you the energy to do what's right, and or you can have fear in the world, which gives the world power to allow you to see things in a negative light. I also feel like with the little boy or the school that got blown up, everyone wants to blame God. But every bit of that is man's fault. Where were the parents when that kid was missing? Where, you know, the person that blew up the school, that's on them. And no one wants to give responsibility to the world. It's much easier to give it to God, which you can't see or blame. Just, you can just write it off that way. And it takes away your fear of the world when you can put it on something else. The fear. And so you fear the world and blame God instead of fearing God and blaming the world.
Yeah, very, very, very well said.
Yeah. Thank you. All right, so I'm a little early today, so I would ask Amit if can give us some guide us in prayer. Would you? Yeah.
Father, we just thank you for this time. Thank you for Jaime. He led us, taught us about good fear and bad fear, fear of the world, fear of God. Just thank you for the time that we've had to learn more about you and your ways. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And what we don't understand is we get free will.
Yes.
You know, well, the consequences are our free will.
Thank you.
It's a lot easier for somebody to shake their hat, their hand at a God they don't know, that they have no relationship with,
sure,
than it is to blame their bad parents or in a situation that I'm trying to tell what it does.
Yeah.
It's easier to do that.
Yeah. I don't grab a word yesterday morning, and when I by the time I got on the highway, I had low tires.
Yeah. So we live on gravel.